Okay. The Gemara's in Baba Basra, at the end of Hamochar Tosfina, at the end of the fifth parak, they speak about the prohibitions of using inaccurate weights and measures as we conduct business. A person has a store. A person has a warehouse. He sells flowers. He sells dry goods. He sells really anything that has to be counted or weighed. The Torah commands us in a few places that we have to make sure that the scales, that the measurements we use, are indeed accurate. In Vayikra Perek Yotes, it's the Torah says Lo Sasu Avol B'Mishpat. We can't commit any corruption in justice B'Mida B'Mishkal U'B'Mishura. Whether it's in drawing measurements, whether it's in volume, or whether it's in measuring distances. For example, whether somebody's selling a piece of land, 100-acre square piece of land, he has to make sure that his measuring tools are indeed accurate, and he isn't allowed to use an inaccurate measuring tool, because he's going to end up cheating the person. He's going to end up ripping the person off. However, the Torah goes weiter. That was in Vayikra Yotes, in Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Kisetze, at the end of the second to last topic in Parshas Kisetze, the Torah tells us, Lo yiyya l'cha b'kischa evan v'evan gedolo katana. You shouldn't have in your pocket, in your possession, an evan and an evan, two different stools, gedolo ukatana. Of course, before they invented a scale, like an electronic scale, the way people used to measure is they had a stone that weighed a pound, and they would take the pound, and they would take the stone that weighed a pound, they would put it on one side of the scale, and they would put a pound of flour, of apples, of potatoes, of whatever they were measuring onto the other side of the scale. They would wait until it balanced out. Therefore, a storekeeper who wanted to be dishonest, he would take his brick or whatever it was that said a pound, and he would chip some of it off. So really, it was only 95% of a pound. So the consumer thought he was getting a pound of potatoes, and really the storekeeper was only giving him 95% of a pound of potatoes. That's katana, a small thing. The Torah says we can't have a weight which is too small. On the other hand, gedola. When the storekeeper used to buy food from the wholesaler, So he would use his brick. He would use his pound brick, and he would make sure he would have a pound that was too big. So that way he would get more produce from the wholesaler than he was really paying for. The Torah says, "Lo yilecha b'kischa evan va'aven." We can't have two different types of stones, two different types of weights of bricks in our possession. Gedolo katana. One bigger, one smaller. Lo yiyya l'cha b'beischa eifa v'eifa. It's not only dry measure. It's not only it's not only when using weights, but it's also when dry measurement. When we're filling up a flour into a container, so we put the flour or the liquid, whatever it is, into a cup. And we sell the person when it's a measuring cup. You can't have two eifas, two different sized measuring cup, one that's bigger and one that's smaller, for the same reasons. When this dishonest shopkeeper would sell, he would have the marks marked lower, and when he would buy from the wholesaler, he would have the marks marked higher. You can't have this, but the Torah says that Evan Shlem of a Tzedek Yelecha. You should have a complete and just Evan, and Efa Shlem of a Tzedek Yelecha. You should have a complete and just measuring container. Leman Yerichi Yemecha, so you'll live long. Al Hadam Asher Hashem Lokecha Nosein Lecha Kisav As Hashem Lokecha Kol Oseila. Because it's a Toeva. It's disgusting to give the offal to Hashem, and anybody who does these things call Osei Avil. We've been learning it in these blot in the end of the fifth parak above Metzia. The Gemara discusses these prohibitions. The Gemara discusses how often does a storekeeper or a wholesaler have to be careful to clean his measurements to make sure that they're accurate. How much the mission discusses how much produce should a storekeeper give the consumer a little bit extra to ensure he's not ripping him off. These are the halachas discussed in these gemaras. One would ask the question that, as we've already been told in Vayikra, you can't cheat somebody by using dishonest weights and measurements. So what's the Torah telling us in Kiseitse? The answer is, Chazal tell us, the answer is that in addition to not using these measurements to cheat somebody, we aren't even allowed to have these measurements in our possession. The same way a Jew can't have Chometz on Pesach, the same way a Jew can't own Avodah Zarah. Some of those are the only things that you can own. In addition, a Jew isn't allowed to own these dishonest weights and measurements. He isn't allowed to keep them in his house, even if he doesn't intend on using them. The Rashbam on Pei Tes Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Sheyishoha, it's also to be Mishaha these measurements in our house. We can't keep these measurements around. The Rashbam explains why not. The Zimnin Dasi Limdo, because it could be that he's going to end up using it, even though he's an honest person. He doesn't want to use it. He's not using it, but he figures he'll keep it for a paperweight. He'll keep it for a doorstop. He'll keep it for avit shel meraglaim. The Gemara says he'll keep it for a different purpose. The Gemara says he isn't allowed to even keep it around. The Rashbam says because it could be he's gonna forget. It could be he's gonna give into temptation. He's gonna end up using it. The Rambam says a little bit of a different story. The Rambam, In Perek Shvi of Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Gimel, he seems to trust the storekeeper a little bit more. He says in Halacha Gimel, she'afal pi she'ein zeh lokeach u'gumocher, that even though it's true that the storekeeper, he got something else and he isn't using this weight to measure anymore, shema yavo mi she'ein yodeah, could be there's somebody else who doesn't know, she'hi chaseira, he's going to come v'yimnod ba. So the Torah is telling us we can't have these problematic weights around our house because it could be that somebody's going to come and use it. After having spent the past couple of days learning the Gemara, let's learn the Rambam and let's see how the Rambam paskins these halachos. In Perek Zayin of Hilchos Geneva, the Rambam starts Hashokel lechaveiro b'mishkolas chaseiros. If Hashokel lechaveiro, a person who weighs out or who measures to somebody else, using b'mishkolas chaseiros min hamishkol shehiskimu alav b'nei osu hamedino. In a weight that the type of weight that the people in town use if it's lacking part of the weight. For example, if we use a pound. So this is a pound, it's a pound a little bit off. Or if we use a kilo, it's a kilo a little bit off. Oh, hamoded b'mida chaseira. Or if he uses a container measurement, min hamida she'eskim olav aleha. Hareza over below sasei. It's over olav. It's over Torah prohibition. She'enemer, as it says in Vayikra, losasu avil b'mishpat b'mida b'mishkel u'b'mishura. What's the question could be asked, that what's the Rambam telling us? A person who uses a weight which is defective from the weights they use in that place, in that Medina. Right, that's the weights they're using. They're using the weights in a place, and the weights he's using is defective. What's the Rambam coming to tell us about these halachas that he specifies that the defective weight that we aren't allowed to use is from the weights which are in use in that place? The Achronim give a few mahalchim in the Rambam. It's been suggested that for example, a United States gallon is 4 quarts, a Canadian gallon is 4.84 United States quarts. So can a person who's selling gas in the United States tell the person he's selling a gallon and really think and really have in mind that Can a person selling gas in Canada, who he's mechuyev to give the larger gallon, sell to his customers and have in mind that I'm using the United States gallon? If people come to me with a complaint, they'll say, "What do you mean? I'm using the United States gallon." So the Rambam's telling us that you have to use the specifically the way Sheiskim will have b'nei also Hamadina. That could be true. Just a little bit funny the way the Rambam is telling us, because he's not telling us kodem kol you're mechuyev to use the weight that's a generally accepted practice. And when you're using that weight, which is pashut, you can't have it defective. He's telling us this halacha is part of the being defective. I thought you could explain in the Rambam a little bit differently. Actually, once had an interesting story. I went to a butcher. I was afraid that the meat wouldn't be with me as I was going home. I was going to have to make a stop. I was afraid I wouldn't have the meat with me. So I asked the butcher. He was a fine Jew, an old-school Jew. I asked him if he could put two simonim on the meat so it shouldn't be a problem with basar shon asalim min ha'ayin, which we know is a problem. If we send meat and we don't always keep an eye on the kosher meat, we have to suspect it could be that the meat was swished with not kosher meat. He told me, first of all, it's not a problem with basar shon asalim min ha'ayin, because you told me you aren't going to be sending the meat, you're going to put it down and find it in the same place. Halach l'maaseh, if you find the meat in the same place, you don't have to be worried about basar shon asalim min ha'ayin. I took a look in the Yochel Shulchan, the Yochel Shulchan passing was that. He said, but second of all, it's not a problem anyway, because I'm a butcher, I can tell my cut of meat. So I'm going to give you the meat. If you think it was switched, come back to me. I'll tell you. I'll take a look at the meat. I'll tell you if I cut it, or if the other person in the store cut it, or if the other person in the store cut it. I can tell any cut of meat, but I can tell the person who cut it by the cut of meat. And second of all, even without that, I'll give you the receipt. You'll check the weight of the receipt. If you think the meat was changed, you'll take the meat to a scale. You'll weigh the meat. If it's the same meat as a scale, it's going to be fine. But I'm telling you, come back to this scale, because you will not find two scales which are exactly the same. And he showed me his scale, he showed me the second scale in the store, and one was 0.0005 off of the other scale. He said it could be that, he said you aren't going to find two scales which are exactly the same. It could be on scales they use to weigh gold that it's such small amounts and so valuable, it could be that those are precise. But in regular scales, it will always be a little bit off. So if you want to make sure it's the same piece of meat, you should push come to the shop, come back here and weigh it on my scale. I was actually learning these sugars then. So I was thinking why isn't he over in Losasa Oval Bamishpat every time he does business? So Lemaise, the Rambam in Halacha Dalet, Halacha Hey, says that Bezin is only mechuyev to get involved and to make sure that people's scales are accurate if it's the place where the government doesn't have inspectors to go inspecting the scale. But because this person has a sticker on his scales, the scales are accurate, then Bezin doesn't have to get involved. Hi, so why isn't he ripping people off? Because that's what the Rambam was telling us. So a person who uses a defective scale, defective from what? Min ha-mishkol she'eskimu lo b'nei oso ha-medina. From the commonly accepted scale in that country. If it's the local norm of scales allowed to be X amount off, then those types of scales aren't included in the Torah prohibition, even though they might be a little bit off. It could be that the Rambam's Makar is from the Mishnah on Peches. The Mishnah on Peches tells us that in locales where they used to give the consumer a little bit extra, so they would make sure they weren't ripping them off, you're mechuyev to give a little bit extra, because you're mechuyev to go like the minhag medina. Okay? And the reason for that minhag medina is to make sure the consumer isn't being ripped off. But say it's a place where the local custom is not to give the consumer extra. it could be ripping the person off. That's why the people across town, that's why the people in the other city, they give the consumer extra. The Rambam sees from the Mishnah that even though there's a chance he might be ripped off, if that's the local practice and that's what people are used to getting, there isn't a Torah prohibition if you go by those standards. The Rambam goes weiter. Alacha beis al pi shemodid or shokel. He's ganav. He doesn't pay kefil because like any gezer, he doesn't pay kefil. They explain because the person could theoretically weigh it himself, so he isn't exactly being blindsided. He isn't giving the money blindly, because he could weigh it himself and see that the guy is cheating him. The Ram goes weiter, ve'en lokan alav zeh, on cheating somebody bepoil, because it's chayv b'tashlumin, because like any geneva, you don't get makas on it because you have to pay for it, because you owe the person the money. Halacha gimel, the Ram says, until now halacha aleph and beis, we discussed actually cheating somebody. Halacha gimel, kol mi sheshav bebeisa o b'chanusu mida chaseira. If you keep an illicit weight in your house, oy mishkal chaser, oy v'beloisa say, shenemer, like we read in Kisei Tzei, lo yiyah lecha b'kischa evan v'evan efa gedol v'ketana, lo yiyah lecha b'beischa evan v'evan gof v'ketana. V'afilu lasas hamida avit shal meraglayim, even if he has a container which he can't use for a weight anymore, he'll use it for a bedpan, or the same idea. If he has a weight which he can't use for a weight anymore, he'll use it for a doorstopper. It's also, he's not going to use it anymore. So the Rambam says, like we said before, even though he's not going to use it for business anymore, could be somebody else is going to come who doesn't know that it's affected the Yimdodbo. And he's going to, and this other unsuspecting person is going to use it to measure with it. The Rambam says, ve'en lokin alav zeh sharei en bo. So, it is that you are a person doesn't do an action when he keeps these things in his house. Some lavin you do in action. For example, a person who cooks bas b'cholov, he does the action of cooking bas b'cholov together. A person who eats forbidden foods, he does the action of eating foods together. There are other Torah prohibitions, even though they're equally prohibited. For example, a person who keeps an illegal weight in his house, he's not actively keeping an illegal weight. He bought the weight when it was legal, and then it became defective, and he just didn't throw it out. So he's transgressing a Torah violation passively. The Gemara in Shavuos tells us, Kol lav she'en bo maisa, any prohibition that's committed passively, ain't lokan alav. We don't get a person that doesn't receive makas for that, for violating that prohibition. Rashi, the Gemara explains. Rashi explains because the parsha of makas is said next to the prohibition of muzzling a behemoth, of muzzling an animal in the field when you're working with it. The Torah says that when you're working with an animal in the field, you have to keep him unmuzzled, or you have to put a bag of feed over his mouth so he'll be able to eat. And if you don't, you violate the Torah prohibition. And right next to it, the Torah tells us the parsha of makas. So the Gemara understands that makas are only given on a prohibition which is similar to the lava of losachtum sar of shorvedisho, to the prohibition to muzzle an animal when you're working with it. And conversely, any lav which isn't an active lav but is only violated passively, a person doesn't get makas on it. A person doesn't receive makas for violating that lav. So the Rambam is telling us that on this lav of having illegal weights and measuring cups in his house, that lav is violated. That prohibition is violated passively. It's not violated actively. Because it's not violated actively, he doesn't get makas on it. The Rambam says writer that in a place where they have government inspectors, you're allowed to keep this illegal weight in your house. The Aruch HaShulchan explains because they're going to take off the sticker. The Aruch HaShulchan explains because a weight in a place where you need a sticker, a weight is only called a weight if it has a sticker on it. A weight without a sticker is called a brick. So you're allowed to leave this brick in your house because people aren't going to end up using it. The Rambam says writer, that if if a person has a pound weight that's a little bit defective and it's now 95% of a pound, he's allowed to chop it in half to make it a half pound weight. Because even though it conceivably still says 1 pound on it, it's so much smaller, people aren't going to be fooled. And it's going to be understood that this isn't a pound weight anymore, this is a half pound weight. So you're allowed to keep it, and you're allowed to use it as a half pound weight. The prohibition is only something that could conceivably look like a pound, but it's really a little bit smaller, or when he's buying from his wholesaler, it's a little bit bigger. On this Rambam that en lokan alav zesha hare en bo maisa, a person isn't punished with makas for this love because it's committed passively, the Acharonim ask a kasha on the Rambam. Another love she'en bo maisa that we find, a love that's committed passively, is having chametz on Pesach. A person had bread from before Pesach, he totally forgot about the bread. Or he didn't forget about it because then he couldn't get makas. A person only gets makas if he's over on purpose. A person had bread before Pesach. Edom warned him, you better throw out your bread. You better get rid of your bread before Pesach. He doesn't do it. For retaining that bread on Pesach, he's over a Torah prohibition of bal yor ubal yimotze. The Torah says lo yirah lechol sor b'chol gvolacha. You can't have any sor. You can't have any leaven, any which includes any bread, in your house on Pesach. And lo yirah lecha chametz, you can't have any chametz. So therefore, the Rambam tells us that in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, in a loke on these prohibitions of bal yirah and bal yimotzeh on chametz, having chametz on Pesach, in a loke mishum bal lo yirah v'lo yimotzeh. But there is one way a person can indeed receive makas on Pesach. Ella im kain for having chametz on Pesach. Ella im kain kana chametz on Pesach o chimtzo kedesh yaseh bo maisa. The Rambam reasons that because the only type of lav, or because this category of lav that we don't get makas on, is a lav that's committed passively, how about if a person has chametz on Pesach actively? For example, it's Pesach, it's Chol HaMoed, he goes to the store, he buys a slice of pizza. He did in action to buy chametz on Pesach. Or he takes flour, he takes water, he takes yeast, he mixes it together, he makes chametz on Pesach. He committed this lav actively. The Rambam understands that when the Gemara tells us that kol lav she'en bo maisa en lokan alav, that's specifically a lav that you commit in a passive manner. But if you would commit the lav, if you commit the prohibition in an active manner, he would get makas on it. The Rambam continues. Avol im haya lo chometz kodem Pesach. But if he had chometz from before Pesach, ubaha Pesach, and Pesach came around velo biaro, and he didn't destroy it. Elo hinichu brishoso, but he left it. Avol pisha avol shnei lav. Even though he indeed violated the lav nebal yiro bal yimotze, and elo kein min haTorah, he doesn't get makos. B'pnei shelo asa bo maisa, because he didn't do an action to be. To violate these prohibitions, he violated them passively. A passive violation of a prohibition, you don't get makas on. You only get makas on active violation of a prohibition. Imkain, the Achronim ask the Minchas Chinuch and Rishon and Ches, the Eben Ezra and the Arsameach over here in the Rambam, Hilchos Gneva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Divrei Cheskel, Simon Chav, Sifkat Neches, they all ask that how could the Rambam tell us across the board that you can't receive makus on the prohibition of having illegal weights and measures in your house because it's lav she'en bo maisa. It's true, if you bought the lav when it was good and used it for a few years and it was a good lav, he chapped one day, oivei, it's defective, and he left it underneath his desk. So over there, it's a lav she'en bo maisa, because he didn't do anything active to violate it. He's violating it passively by just leaving it there and not throwing it out, by retaining it. It's true that over there, he shouldn't get makas, but how about if somebody goes out and buys in an illegal weight? How about if somebody goes out of his way to make it in an illegal weight? He did do it by accident. He did on purpose. He wants to cheat people. Ostensibly, over there, with the Rambam's klal in Hilchos Chometz U'Matzo, ostensibly the person should receive makas for violating that law. But in Hilchos Geneva, the Rambam doesn't tell us that. The Rambam makes a blanket statement that one cannot receive makas for violating this law because it's a law she'en bo ma'isa. What's the difference between what the Rambam is telling us in Hilchos Chametz Matzah and what the Rambam is telling us in Hilchos Geneva? The Divrei Cheskel and the Arsameach and the Evan Ezel all tell us they answer the question by showing us there are ways to have illegal weights without violating the prohibition. They explain like this: on Pesach, it's impossible to buy chametz on Pesach without being over the prohibition, without violating the prohibition. Therefore, as soon as you buy it, you violate the iser. So through the purchase, through the action, or through the being machmas biyadayim, through the act of making of chametz, the person is violating the prohibition. However, when it comes to illegal weights and measures, it's not true that a person who buys in an illegal weight is going to violate the prohibition. There isn't anything inherent in the buying it that is going to make him violate it. For example, he sees the guy down the block, the storekeeper down the block is a crook. He's using illegal weights and measures. This person's a tzaddik. He walks over to him. He tells him, do you know what? I'd like to buy your things from you. So he buys them, and he has in mind to break them. Over there, he didn't do anything wrong, because he isn't leaving them around his house so people can trip up. So he can trip up lefi the Rashbam, so other people can trip up lefi the Rambam. He's buying them for a good purpose. Revis Zalman also says, he says on this next case, Mustama, it's not possible to find a case, but if it would be possible, it would be the same thing. A person decides he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Deraisa of destroying illegal weights. So he goes out to buy illegal weights so he could destroy it. Okay. Lutzer case would happen. This person isn't violating the issue of having illegal weights around his house. In other words, they're explaining that by illegal weights, the problem, the thing the Torah is concerned with, is having it around his house. But it's not the action of buying it. V'harai, I have to buy it for a good purpose, to destroy it. Or it could be, he sees an illegal weight for sale, it's a little bit defective, so he'll get a good price for it. He'll buy a 95% pound weight and break it down and make a half pound weight. You're allowed to do that. There isn't anything wrong with doing that. He's not keeping legal weight around his house. Over chametz by Pesach, because we see there isn't any permitted way to buy it, that shows us that the very action of buying it is a prohibited action. The Arsameach says a different chiluk. He says, say the object belongs to somebody else. Because we see from the Rashbam and the Rambam, the whole problem here is you can't have it around your house because somebody might come to use it. It shouldn't make a difference if it's somebody else's object or if it's my defective way. That's Vaiter Arayo, that you see that it has nothing to do with me owning it. The problem is having it around my house. Over chametz on Pesach, there's nothing wrong with having a goy's chametz in my house, without getting it into arvus and without getting into lifnei, without getting into those sugyas. In Hilchos chametz itself, there's nothing wrong with having the chametz of another Jew around my house. You see over there, the only problem is the ownership of the chametz. So therefore, as soon as I become the owner, I'm over. I've violated the iser. However, by defective measures, the problem is having it around my house. D'harai, he says, you see that even if I have somebody else sitting around my house, I don't have to be the owner. I can have it around my house. Therefore, you see, there isn't any problem per se with buying it. The iser is having it. The Divrei Cheskel says the same part. The Divrei Cheskel shows too to another example of a lav she'en bo ma'isa, a passive lav which we don't get makas on, is saying false testimony in Beis Din. Because speaking, the Gemara says that the Gemara in the beginning of makas says that dibur lav ma'isa. That speaking isn't called a ma'isa. Speaking isn't called inaction. Okay. corrected the Yecheskel, in some cases, Edom can sit down and write their testimony to Beis Din. They can write a letter to Beis Din saying their testimony. So in certain cases, it could be if they're in Beis Din. So over there, they're doing an action of writing. Over there, they're saying false testimony with an action. So how could the Rambam make the same blatant statement that how could the Rambam make the same blatant statement that a person who testifies falsely doesn't get makas? If he writes his testimony false, if he writes false testimony, he should get makas. So the Yecheskel gives a similar answer. Over there isn't anything inherently wrong with writing false testimony, because the false testimony is meaningless until you go to the mailbox and you put a stamp on it and you give it to Beis Din and you send it to Beis Din. The only prohibition is it getting to Beis Din, is Beis Din receiving this testimony. Therefore, once Beis Din receives this testimony, I'm not doing an action anymore. This is called a lav she'en bo ma'isa. I'm not actively participating in Beis Din receiving my false testimony. He says the same is true over here by false weights and measures, because we find there are times you could buy it for a good reason. For example, to cut down to make it into a smaller, accurate way. We see there isn't anything inherently wrong with buying it. That's how the Acharonim answer the Rambam. It could be it's true, but how do they know that? They're saying a chiddush that there are some two different dinim going on here. What the Torah is telling us by illegal weights and measures. The Torah is telling us losishaha. You can't have it hanging around your house. You can't passively retain it on your property. But on Chumash, the Torah is telling us you can't own it. So therefore, if you buy it, if you do something active to create an ownership, like doing an act of buying or like doing an act of being machmas biyadayim, so over there you actively violated the Yisr. Who says? Sefaker. Why don't you say that by legal weights and measures, the Torah is telling us it's an act of ownership, and by Chumash, the Torah is telling us it's an act of not having it around your house. What was Mechiach the Acharonim to say the Shtikl Torah? It could be you could find the answer in the Sifri. The Sifri in Parashas Kisetze, the Rambam in the beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, he gives the transmission of the Torah Sheval Peh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, to Yeshua, to Nevi'im Zakenim, to Yeshua, to Eli, to Pinchas, to Shmuel, to David, and to Achi Shiloni, to David, and goes weiter from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And the Rambam explains that Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote down the Torah Sheval Peh that was called the Mishnayos, because he saw that Klal Yisrael was forgetting it. A few generations later, the Chachamim Sheba Oso Dor saw that Bnei Yisrael was forgetting the Torah Sheval Peh even weiter. So they wrote a few commentaries to explain the Ikrim, to explain the Dinim, to explain the Yesodos of the Mishnayos, of the Torah Sheval Peh. These works were Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Sifra Sifri, and the Mechilta. The Sifri is another form of the Talmudic Gemara. Instead of the Amoraim in the Gemara being arranged for the Mishnayos, the statements of the Amoraim in the Gemara explain the Torah Sheval Peh are arranged according to the parashios where these halachos come up in the Torah Shebichsav. Therefore, by the Sifri, by the end of Parashas Kisayetzer, the pasuk says, "Lo yiyya b'kischa even v'oven." You can't have in your pouch. You can't have oven v'oven. Practice of free lochol yochol. I might think lo yase litro. You can't have a liter, chetzi litro, a half a liter, or reveal litro, because the Torah tells us we can't have three. We can't have different types of measurements, which means in our house we're only allowed to have a tablespoon. We can't have a teaspoon. We can't have a cup. We can't have a we can have a cup, we can have a pitcher, we can only have a teaspoon, we can have a liter, we can have a chetra liter, we can have a reveal liter, we can have a quarter liter, because it says lo ye bekischa even ve'even. Talmud Lomer, the Sefer says, the Torah says gedola v'katana. What's pragol gedola v'katana? Of course, if you have two different measurements, one is by definition going to be bigger, one is by definition going to be smaller. What does it mean, gedola v'katana? The Sefer explains, gedola shehi macheshes es ha-katana. The gedola, the bigger measurement, is inherently a contradiction of the smaller measurement. With David Pardon, the Sefer Beirav, I think he explains that what that's saying is that, like we explained before, a person would have two weights. He would have a smaller weight to buy. He would have a weight that says a pound that's only 95% of a pound to sell, so he can give the consumer less produce. And when he was buying from a wholesaler, it would be 105% of a pound. It would be a bigger pound, so he gets more produce for the same money. That's gedola. The bigger one inherently contradicts the smaller one, because they're both labeled a pound. But one you see is bigger because it's bigger than the other one, which is smaller, even though they're both labeled a pound. The Sefer is telling us that when gedol shehi macheshes etz haketano, that's the issur. The Torah is telling us we can't have something that it says a pound, but it's contradicted by a real pound. It's contradicted by a pound. It's only 95% of a pound. The Sefer, however, the Hava Mina, it seems that the Sefer is saying, if the Torah wouldn't have spent the extra two words of gedola v'katana to tell us that what the Torah is prohibiting us from having is gedola shehi macheshes etz haketano, from 2 pound measurements, which are either one or both are defective, we would have indeed thought by reading the pasuk when the pasuk says lo yeh bekischa even va'even lo yasa litra chetzel litra v'reveal litra. You can't have 3 different measurements in your house. You can't have 3 different measurements in your store. Rav David Pardon, the Sefer Beirav, asks, how is it possible? A person sells flour. Oh, okay, fine. So the Torah tells us he can only have one type of measurement to measure out flour. He has a pound measurement. So if a guy wants to buy 100 pounds of flour, the poor guy has to sit there for 100 times, and he has to do it 100 times. Oh, besides, it's not so bad. A person who wants to buy half a pound of flour, what's he going to do? How's he going to measure it out? Why would we have thought of having it like that? That the Torah has to spend 2 extra words in Gedola V'Katana to tell us, no, that's not true. That what the Torah is telling us in Gedola V'Katana is Gedola Shehi Himacheshes Etz HaKatana. The two are inherent contradiction. David Pardo explains that the key word is Bekischa, in the same drawer, in the same pouch, in the same pocket. Or as we would say, in the same drawer. You can't have 2 close measurements in the same drawer. Avad, you're allowed to have a teaspoon and a tablespoon. You can't put them in the same drawer, because it could be on a busy day you're going to take out the wrong one, and without thinking you're going to measure it out wrong. Avad, if you keep a teaspoon in this drawer and a tablespoon in this drawer, and it's totally separate parts of the store, of course that's mutter. If you want to put a half a cup here and a full cup here and a 10 cup there, that's fine. And a ten pound cup or a ten cup measurement there in that part of the store, that's fine. But you can't have the things together, Bekischa, Rav David Pardo explains. You can't have the different measurements together in a place where they might be mixed up. In other words, Rav David Pardo is explaining that the Sefri is understanding, the Chazal and the Sefri are understanding that this Pasuk is a siyog, that we can't have it in our Rishos, because we can't have these measurements in our Rishos, in our store, because we might come to make a mistake and use it by mistake. We might come to be mixed up. We might come to use it by mistake. Imkain, the Sefer had a havmin. It could be that the Torah's gezeira on making a mistake is so far that you can't even have different things in the same drawer. And for the Torah, no. The Torah is only being gozer on gedola v'katana, on 2 things which are in inherent contradiction, which, as the Rashbam explained, Avad, he's not going to use it anymore, he's an honest person, but he's going to have it around in his store, and he might forget. And the Rabbim explained, he's an honest person, he's not going to have it in the store anymore, but somebody else is going to use it. Both the Havmin and both the Maskona of the Sefri or this mitzvah is telling us, don't have things around your store which you might come to unwittingly make a mistake. In the Havmin of the Sefri held a understood that the Torah is forbidding us to have more things, and the Sefri says no, and the Maskana no. Avada the same Yisod is true. The Torah is coming, is saying, don't have things around your house which you might come to make a mistake. Avada the Lomdus the Havmina remains the same. However, one prat's changing. The mistake that the Torah is concerned about isn't having the same drawer, but the mistake that the Torah is concerned about having is having something around your house, that is having something around your house, around your store, that somebody might unwittingly come to use it. L'chayra we see clear from the Sefri that the way Chazal in the Torah Shalpeh are explaining the Pasuk understood that this love of Mishkolos, this love against having defective Mishkolos around my house is you can't have things in a way that people might come to make a mistake. In other words, there isn't anything wrong with having. We haven't seen anywhere in the Chazal there's something wrong with owning it. Both in the Havmin and both in Maskon, the problem is you can't practically have something around which might lead to a mistake taking place. That's the love of Mishkolos. What's the din by Chametz Matzah? What's the din by Pesach? So the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Hamed Beis and the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph brings the Gemara. It says Kos of Torah, the Torah tells us a few pesukim by Pesach by Chametz. It says Kos of Torah Lo Yira Lecha Chametz Yochalim Tomer Also Hikra Lov. I may think if you bury it or if you otherwise hide it, biyad goyim, or if you give it to a guy, it's your chametz. But you give it to a guy, you tell him I don't want it back until after Pesach. Lo yiyelecha over, you wouldn't violate it because it isn't around your house. Tamalomer saar lo yimotzi b'teichem. Afilu hitminu, even if you hide it, it shouldn't be anywhere. Even if you hide it, even if you put it away, even if you lock it up without selling it. Yochel lo yehe over elam keno chametz b'beiso. I may think you're only over if the chametz is in your house, I will in rochem mibesu b'sade ubi iracheretz lo yehoiver. You won't violate it because it isn't in your physical proximity. You aren't going to come to eat it. Talmud lomer b'chol gvulacha, anywhere you own it. The Ram here is bringing down Chazal. Chazal, the Gemara in Chazal, they understand just like the Sefriya understood lo yebekiska even beyav the gedola katana understood. From the inherent nature of the Pesukim that it's speaking about having it in your house, the Chazal here, the Gemara, the Rambam is bringing Pesachim Daf Hamad Beis understands because of from the extra, it says Lecha, you can't have it a few times. From all these extra Pesukim, the Gemara narrows down. The Gemara understands it must be the Torah is telling us you can't own it. Another way the Gemara sees this is that if a Jew, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph has all sorts of cases, but in certain cases, if a Jew lends money to a guy, and the mashkon, the collateral, is the chametz, even though right now the guy still owns it, the Jew has financial, the Jew has financial rights in the chametz, because if the non-Jew defaults on the loan, the Jew's going to get the chametz. This lechora is a step more. Right now, the chametz doesn't belong to the Jew. It's not in the Jew's house. It belongs to the guy. It's in the guy's house. But because the Jew has financial interest in the chametz, the Torah prohibits even financial interest in the chametz. You see, it's not a vart of having it in your house. You see, it's not a vart of having it in your property. You see, you can't own chametz. You can't be connected to chametz through ownership at all. That's what the Torah is prohibiting by chametz. Imkain, if you have chametz, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel that we learned in Hilchos Chametz is very good. If you passively have chametz because you have chametz from before Pesach, but you forgot, but he didn't get rid of it, he owns chametz in a passive way. But if he buys chametz, the very act of buying chametz immediately gives him prohibitive involvement with chametz. There isn't anything beyond having the involvement which he has through the ma'aseh kinyan. He bought it. He was machmas it. He created the chametz. There isn't any further step after the initial ownership of the chametz. He violated this prohibition through buying the chametz, so he violated this prohibition by doing an action. However, by having forbidden weights around your house, we see from the Sefri, the only isser is you're going to have it around your house where it could be to make a mistake. And therefore we see if you buy it for other reasons, and you do the other reasons before leaving it around your house so it can make a mistake, you weren't over the prohibition. Because you didn't violate the prohibition, the only prohibition is when you passively leave it around your house. That's why the Rambam gave it across the board. It's not possible to actively violate this law. This law is one. This law unequivocally is a law she'ein bo ma'aseh, that you don't get makos on this law. As an aside, I was looking at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chametz. Seems to be going with this Malach and Chametz also. Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph Hilchos Chametz. He says Kol ha'ochel chametz pesach mitchilas lel. Whoever eats chametz on Pesach be b'shogeg he's chayv kores. Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph. He tells us you can't eat chametz on Pesach. Okay. Halacha Beis chametz pesach is also b'hanah. Shalomer lo yoyachol chametz lo yeh bo heter achilo. B'haminiach chametz b'rishuso, but if he leaves chametz in his rishus, afal pishalo achlo, even though he didn't eat it, he's over in Baal Yiroh and Baal Yimotze. You can ask the question a few ways. Why did the Rambam put the Isser Baal Yiroh together with the Isser of Isser Hano? L'chor is two different Isurim. You should have halacha aleph, you can eat. Halacha beis is an Isser Hano. And halacha gimel, there's an Isser Baal Yiroh. And if for some reason you want to have two halachas, put the Isser Achila together with the Isser Hano, because he says the Isser Hano shem nemar lo yeachol chametz lo yehebo heter achila. You see, the Rambam is learning the Isser Hano is an expanded Isser Achila. I think the Mahalach is like we said. The Rambam is looking at chametz is you can't have an association with chametz. It's not you can't eat chametz. It's not you can't have chametz around your house. You can't have an association with chametz. So he begins with the strongest association with chametz. You can't actually eat chametz. That's the strongest association with chametz. And after that, he tells us the two weaker associations with chametz, even though they're diametrically different. Over here is an Isser Hano, even though he doesn't own it. Over here is an Isser Baal Yiroh, Baal Yimotze, even though he doesn't eat it, even though he doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't get any Hano from it. But in both ways, he's being connected to chametz. And the thing that the Torah is prohibiting on Pesach, we can't be connected to chametz in any which way. To be Messiah with merely the agadato, the you can ask the question that at least on a halachic level this mitzvah doesn't seem to be speaking to us. If a person's a shopkeeper, if a person has a wholesaler, if a person sells land, he has measuring things. He has to be careful. But if a person does, if a person's profession is such that he doesn't actively measure things out, l'chayra, what does this mitzvah have to do with most of us? The Or HaMeir sees a deeper message in the Sefri, that the Torah says lo yelecha b'kischa even v'even. You can't have two different size measurements in your house. The Sefri asks, "Yochel lo yehi litra, chetzi litra, revi litra." You can't have different size containers. The Aramaic explains that the Sefri is asking a question. You can't do different things at different times. Sometimes people are enthusiastic in their avodas Hashem. Sometimes they're barely getting by. People who learn Daf Yomi, for example, in the beginning of the Masechta, it's very geschmack. By Daf Tzadi and Bava Metzia, it's a little bit harder. By Daf Tzadi and Bava Basra, it's a little bit harder. It's understandable. A person's going to have more geschmack in the beginning of Masechta than he's going to have geschmack in the middle of the Masechta. is the Torah telling us we can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on two different levels, at certain times with more geshmak, at certain times with less geshmak. Person is going to, in certain circumstances, a person is going to be a bigger Baal Chesed. In certain circumstances, a person is going to be a smaller Baal Chesed. If a person can't be the bigger Baal Chesed in every situation, he shouldn't be the bigger Baal Chesed b'chlal. For carrots, he should try to be a bigger Baal Chesed whenever he can. And if he can't be a bigger Baal Chesed all the time, he should try to do what he can. The Aramaic explains that that's the Sefer's Teretz. Gedolah v'katahana. Gedolah v'machesh'es. As a katana, it's true a person isn't always going to have the same hislavos in Avodas Hashem. Sometimes a person walks out. Sometimes a person wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. He's having a bad day. He's not having hislavos in anything he's doing. He's not davening well. He's not learning well. He's daydreaming during business. He's doing everything. Okay, that's fine. That's a problem. As long as it isn't the Sefer telling us Gedolah Shehim Acheshes Es Hakatana, if he's having it, the only thing the Torah is warning us about is having a geshmak with some things and not having a geshmak with the other. A person woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Okay, tomorrow will be better. But if in his Divrei Rishus the Torah is telling us he has a geshmak, and his Divrei Avodas Hashem he isn't having a geshmak, he can't use the excuse, I'm a little bit out of things today. With his Divrei Rishus, he isn't out of things. It seems he's fine. He's doing fine. That's the homiletical message that the Sefer is warning us about. However, the Maskana says that if it's only Evan v. Evan, if he has a litra and a chetzi litra, today he's doing mitzvahs with more geshmak, and tomorrow he's doing mitzvahs with less eslavos, the Sefer is telling us that isn't a problem. And Fakir, the Omer says, we should always remember as we go through the peaks and valleys of the days and years of life, we should always remember that we talk, I have litra and we have chetzi litra. We have Evan the Evan. We have good days and we have bad days. And that's totally fine. The bad days will pass. And soon we'll get back to the good days again. We'll get back to the days where we can serve Hashem with the same slavos as we did during the good times. The only thing we have to make sure of about, the only shining thing that we have to be careful of is that the hislavos we show in Divrei Rishus doesn't outweigh the hislavos we're showing in Avodas Hashem.